neighbor Andrea Erickson is my guest today. She is a twin mom life coach and founder of Twin Mom Academy. She is the mom to miracle identical twin boys and a singleton girl as well. I enjoyed this interview with Andrea, but I enjoyed it even more the second and third time listening as I was editing the episode. She gives great advice, especially heading into December and the new year. And since this is the final episode of season one, you'll have extra time to listen to it a couple times. So also make sure you are following or subscribed to the podcast. I honestly have no idea how many people are subscribed to the podcast. I don't even know where to look to find that information. So I promise you it's not for my ego. It's really just for you to know when the next season airs. Also, I plan to sprinkle in some bonus episodes before season two airs, so you won't want to miss those. I'm Amber. I have 5 young kids, including a set of boy-girl twins. My kids were all born within 6.5 years of each other. It's a lot of kids in a little amount of time. It has been quite the journey parenting all these kids so close in age. I've learned a lot over the years, and people often come to me for advice. But let's be honest, I don't know everything. And in those cases, I turn to other moms for their advice. I believe that people living it and doing it are the real experts. So that's why each week I'll sit down with a real expert, one of my friends, a mom like you, to get all the advice you asked for. Some you didn't. This is Neighborhood Twin Mom. Welcome to the neighborhood. I have Andrea here. She is a twin mom coach. She also has her own podcast, but I'm going to let her introduce her own family, give a little rundown of her family and introduce, you can say whatever you want about yourself.
Oh, Amber, thanks so much for letting me come on the podcast. I really appreciate it. Yes, my name is Andrea Erickson. I am a twin mom life coach. I run Twin Mom Academy, and my twins are 12, which is crazy. They just turned 12 in October. That blows my mind that they're that old. And then I have a singleton that is 8. They are incredible, but I just struggled as a young mom. All of the expectations, all the things that I thought my life would be, didn't happen. I blamed it on the twins because that's, you know, that's kind of what we do, is we just think it's supposed to be hard because you're having twins. And luckily I've learned that that's not how it has to be. And so now I'm teaching other twin moms that you don't have to do it like that either. Like, you can actually fully enjoy all the aspects of motherhood and be calm and in control, right? As we're raising these twins. And so I found out I was having twins. They were spontaneous. My husband and I hadn't been married very long. And I told him, hey, I think like we should not try to have kids, but maybe we, you know, should maybe try, like,
and the little in-between phase. Yeah.
Yes. That little in-between phase. And he was like, what? Really? Why now? But anyway, and we got pregnant really fast, really easy, and went to the doctor and found out it was twins, which was so crazy. So they're identical twin boys. And my pregnancy was actually really quite smooth and pretty easy. And I say that because this is going to sound so funny. I had gestational diabetes. They had twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, but it really, like, it was easy on my body. And I wish I would have known what I was doing back then, but my mindset was just in such certainty that these babies were going to be healthy and fine, that I didn't stress. I didn't worry. I was not riddled with anxiety, which is mind-boggling to me. I just had so much faith and hope and trust that they were going to be fine. And it just, like, that is what it is. And so then we had to have the surgery at 21 weeks.
Because of twin transfusion.
Yeah. They had.
Are they mono twins or mono di?
I can never remember.
They same sac, same placenta is mono.
Different sac, same placenta.
Okay. So mono di.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The surgery luckily worked. And then at one point they thought maybe they were going to reverse.
Okay.
And they
had
given one baby too much blood flow, but it worked out good. And then my water broke at 33 weeks and 3 days. They gave me the lung steroid shot. And so we waited the 48 hours, and then they started the Pitocin to start, like, inducing labor. I was not breathing very good. And baby B's heart rate was dropping. So they did an emergency C-section and got the babies out. And then I was rushed to the ICU because I still couldn't breathe. And turns out I had an amniotic fluid embolism,
oh, man.
Which is kind of an interesting thing. It's where your lungs fill up with amniotic fluid. Don't even know how that happens. Typically, they diagnose it during the autopsy, which is pretty crazy. Yeah.
Oh my
I'm a miracle. My babies are miracles. I know that helping twin moms is what I'm supposed to be doing. So here we go.
I was like, I've never heard that. How come I've never heard that? Oh my gosh. That is so crazy. Okay. So you're singleton and your twins are 4 years apart. At what point were you like, okay, let's have another kid? How did you make that decision? I know that's a really hard decision for some twin moms of like, should we have more kids after twins?
Yes. Yeah. So my husband was more worried about it than I was. I don't know. I just felt at peace. Like I knew there was another baby. And so it was more, how long did it take me to convince him that we were going to do this again? I mean, poor guy, one of the best days of his life turned into like, holy cow, I'm running between the NICU and the ICU. Do we really want to do this again? We have two healthy, beautiful baby boys. Like, let's just not take our chances. And I just knew that we had another one. It was about 3 years. We just get pregnant really easy. I know we're very lucky and blessed in that regard. And everybody's was like, oh, this is going to be so much easier. Like one's so much easier than two. And I was like, yeah, but then I have twin toddlers. Like,
did it feel easier to you?
No, I mean, the baby aspect of it did, but my first pregnancy, I was able to sleep when I needed to. Yeah. And there was so many things that was so much easier with the twins than with my singleton, just because I had more humans that I needed to take care of. So, and I
tell like, it's easier.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, it is in some regards, right? I mean, you're not having to get up two times in the middle of the night with both babies. Yeah. You're not, there's not two diapers to change. There's a lot of things that are obviously easier, but I don't know. For some things it's not. And I think we always tell people it gets easier because then it's like, okay, there's hope. There's like light at the end of the tunnel, it keeps us moving forward. And I really feel like motherhood is just a different heart at every phase. It's just different. Like I have 12-year-olds and trying to figure out self-esteem and being kind to your twin and not the competitive aspect, working that through that. And there's just, I don't know. Sometimes I'll get up in the middle of the night with a baby any day versus doing some of the things that you have to do now. And so I just really try to be really present and just take motherhood as it comes.
Let's talk about that. Obviously we've both had different experiences. I think it's easier because I had a singleton first. And so then having the juxtaposition, birth order and stuff fascinates me, the way that our personalities and stuff are melded because of the way our birth order and stuff like that. So, but you were expecting something and it was different. How do you change a lot of twin moms? I have so many friends that are twin moms because we get it. And so we like,
we're a club.
Each other. Yeah. We're a club. So I think that there's a lot of expectations and stuff, and then things just don't go how you expect them to do. How do you, like when it comes to feeding, a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to breastfeed my twins. And then you realize, wow, this was different than I thought it was going to be. It's not going to happen. Or the fact that you have two babies and you can't snuggle just one of them. Or the fact that you think that these twins are so cutesy and they're going to be best friends forever and they're not. How do you handle, things that don't go expected, or I don't know how else to say it. You have this vision of something and it's different. It's kind of grieving. I always tell people like, it's okay to grieve something that you thought you were going to have. How do
Absolutely.
You do that?
Absolutely. The grieving is such an important aspect of it. I think the other piece of that is really being intentional with our expectations. If we just let our mind run wild with the expectations, we're going to be disappointed a lot of the time. Our brain is designed to keep us safe, Yeah. It's to survive and to, you know, have pleasure so that our human species will procreate. And so that's its job. That's it. It's not trying to keep us happy. It's not trying to keep us like motivated or feeling fulfilled. Its job is to just keep us in survival mode. And so if you just allow your brain to run wild with choosing the expectations that you have, you just think that they just come at you, but you're choosing them, right?
Okay. Yeah. I'm choosing to breastfeed or whatever I'm in. This is my expectation. Yes. That's what you mean. Okay.
Yes. All right. So instead of like just having that as an expectation, like be very intentional with those expectations. And then if you are intentional with your expectations and it doesn't go according to plan, give yourself grace. Let's just take the breastfeeding one, for example. You have an expectation of yourself to breastfeed. Well, number one, you're really not in full control over that. I really think our expectations need to be something that we are fully, like 100% in control. So what you are in control of is, I want to try to breastfeed. I'm going to try it for this amount of days. This is the effort that I'm going to put into it. You know, whatever the case, however you structure it. But then when that expectation doesn't get reached, do the grieving, do the, man, I realized that that's not how that's going to work, and grieve through it. Not like shoving cookies and ice cream in your mouth, but just like really being okay with like, man, that's a bummer. That didn't happen how I wanted it to. And then move forward. Oftentimes we just attach our identity and our worth and who we are as a mom with the expectations that we didn't meet. And that's not okay either. You give yourself so much more grace and love, and heck, you tried. There's a lot of people out there that wouldn't even attempt to try to breastfeed twins, right? And so give yourself so much grace and love and compassion, and don't delegate that to anybody else. No one else needs to throw that at you. If they do, that's just like the cherry on top. But you are the one that is giving yourself that love and that grace and that compassion, and then that will give you the mental energy to keep moving forward in your motherhood. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what do you mean by not delegate? Don't give someone else.
Meaning like, don't try to get everybody else to give you compassion. Don't try to have everybody else give you love and understanding. So often twin moms want our partners or our husbands to understand what we're going through. We want our moms. We want everybody else to understand what we're going through. And really the only person that really needs to understand is you. So that you can layer yourself with love and compassion. Because when we delegate that responsibility and it doesn't come back to us, we get mad and angry and resentful and frustrated. And none of that, like, that is all optional. If you're the one always giving yourself the love.
That's a good point. Yeah. I can't feel happy unless something else happens, but then you can't control that something else. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I will be a better mother when my kids do this, but you can't control what your kids do.
Right. Right.
With whether they, how they eat or not. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good, Andrea. That's good. I'm like, now I'm like reeling. I'm like, oh, okay. So you had spontaneous twins. So that's a hurdle. I've interviewed episode 2. Catherine talked about that too. She had spontaneous identical twins, and she kind of talked about the fact that she felt guilty about that because so many people in the twin community use IVF or other fertility treatments, and then they end up having twins. Mm-hmm. How do you handle that, navigate that guilt and I'm sure that people make comments to you too about the fact that they just happened.
I just know everybody's journey is different, and I'm not going to feel guilty that I believe in God. So I'm not going to feel guilty that God gave me spontaneous twins. My journey wasn't to go through IVF. There's something that those moms and those families needed to learn through that process. And I didn't, for whatever reason, need that. I had either gained that lesson in a different way, or I don't need that lesson or whatever. And so I really just stay in my own lane when it comes to that. It doesn't, I have I'll be honest, I've never felt guilt about having spontaneous twins ever. I feel so blessed. I'm filled with gratitude. I think that's where it is I'm just so grateful that those twins are mine, that they came the way they came. And I shower the people that have gone through IVF and rounds and shots and all of the things. I just praise their name and shower them with love. But I'm not going to feel guilty because my story is different than theirs. Like, there's no upside to that at all, ever. I don't think there's any upside to that.
Okay. So what do you tell someone who feels guilty that they don't appreciate? You said you're so grateful that you have these twins. What do you say to someone who's overwhelmed and not feeling gratitude, you know, number of kids or the fact that they have twins or their situation? How do you flip that around? I mean, it's easy to say, be grateful, but I don't think that's good enough.
Yeah. Well, all of that is optional through how you're choosing to think of it. I think people need to understand that our emotions, like guilt, resentment, shame, anger, frustration, whatever, all of our thoughts create our emotions. It's like science in our brain. We think a thought and then the thought triggers a chemical emotion. And then that emotion goes into our body. And so when somebody is not feeling grateful that they have twins and they're, and then they feel shame that they don't feel grateful, like they layer right on top of it. I always just start with them, like where they're at and why they're feeling the way that they're feeling. And it's when we start to unpack it and really understand, well, I feel resentment because these were my last kids and now there's two and I can't do, like, I can't have the snuggles and I can't do the things that I wanted to do. Number one, once again, we grieve. I know this might sound rude, but what's the upside to being upset about it? Like, it is what it is. Like, this is your life. So fighting against it is actually harder than accepting it. It causes more emotional pain than just actually accepting what's going on for you. And so when they don't feel gratitude, that's okay. Don't layer on shame that you're not feeling gratitude. Just what would they be feeling? Let me just think, like, if they are, let's just say resentful.
Like, nobody understands me. I have these two twins. I didn't mean to have two kids. I didn't even try to get pregnant. Now I have two babies. I don't have enough time for this. I'm overwhelmed already. My house is a mess. Nobody's helping me.
Yeah.
Life stinks.
Yeah. So that whole, everything that you just said is a story. That's how they're perceiving their life. So there's always another way of looking at your life, always. And so that's the work that we do in Twin Mom Academy, is I help them uncover what is truly painful for them. And then we shift the story ever so slightly. I'm not telling us that we can't feel negative emotion. We're not robots. We need to be feeling all the different emotions. We just teach you how to feel the emotion and then how to get out of it when you want to. And that grief and processing through all of that is healthy and what our bodies need. So if they're feeling, you know, resentful that they have twins and they're overwhelmed, that's okay. We just start with, you're okay. You're a human experiencing those emotions and it's okay. There's zero shame. If I could have a banner on all of social media, is I'm with Brené Brown. Like, shame is not helpful ever. And in fact, shame means I'm bad. I did something wrong. I'm a horrible person. That's never the case ever. There's things that you do maybe, and that you can be disappointed in your actions, but you as a human is whole and worthy and perfect. And so whenever twin moms present this to me, I'm like, I know, I hear you. I don't understand what you're going through, 'cause I've never been that, but I can understand the emotions that you're feeling and here's why you're feeling them. And then I say, what do you want to feel instead? We always go to, like, okay, you don't like your life. Like, we can change that. We can put the kids up for adoption. We can go back to work. There's lots of things that we can do. I think that too often we feel like we're just stuck in this. We have to do this. We have to be a mom. We have to stay at home. We have to do these things. And when we can really see that we do have options, then it makes us really believe, really understand that we are choosing our current life. I don't know that I answered your question, but I would.
I think so. I just don't like people like, oh, just be grateful. I'm like, that's not a good enough thing. Like when you're, like what you said, when you're stuck, it's too hard to just, you know, be grateful. I guess what you're saying is kind of a whole shift of changing your story and choosing to change your story, because you can do something about it. You can put the kids up for adoption and you can do all these things. Like what
I think all too often us moms, we want to put ourselves into victim mentality. We're victims of the kids. We're victims of our circumstances and everything that's going around us. And I really try to help us see that, no, you can be the hero of the story. If you want to be, if you want to be in victim mode, I'm here for you and I will listen to you and I will guide you and I will help you. But the second you want to be out of victim mentality, I'm your girl, because I will show you that you really are the superhero. Like, you're freaking amazing. And here's what we can do to shift your perspective and your life.
If my friend and fellow twin mom Melissa ever recommends a product to me, I pretty much always go out and buy it, except for her 12 passenger van. I'm not there quite yet. So when she recommended Kindra Bravely nursing bras, I went out and got one. She was right. It was the most comfortable nursing bra I ever owned. They also have pajamas, clothing, and underwear specific for pregnancy and postpartum. The CEO of the company is a mom who wanted more comfortable jammies during pregnancy and postpartum, so she set out to design her own. Most of their clothes are designed to be used during pregnancy and postpartum and are nursing friendly, so they are comfortable and cute. They always have 10% off if you sign up for emails, but with my special link in the show notes, you'll get 20% off your entire first purchase. The prices are already very affordable. Seriously, who doesn't want to save more money? The jammies or nursing tops would make a great gift for your mom friend or a mom-to-be. Again, click the special link in the show notes for 20% off at kendrabravely.com. Tell me, maybe a shift, but what can you do? For me, having twins, having any kids was always, big life experiences are really hard for marriages. So what have you done to be able to navigate the big changes in your life, like having twins, when it comes to a relationship with your husband?
Number one, I try not to tell myself that they're hard on marriages. Like, it's just an experience. Like, telling yourself that it's hard just makes it harder.
Okay.
So just even that shift in your brain really does make a huge difference. When you're experiencing something new with your partner, I just really try to give everybody grace. Like, he's trying to figure out twins, I'm trying to figure out twins. And I always go to our underlying truth of, I love him, he loves me. We have different opinions. We have different ideas. We're just different humans. And so we're open communication and like big communication, not like little sentences, but like big sentences for me really does help. Like, the more detail and the more like explanation I can give and he can give me, it just helps us understand each other. I think that's the biggest thing, is just to give everybody grace as people are navigating this new normal, trying to figure out a new routine, and being willing to come at those conversations. This is huge. Listen up, everybody. You have to come out. You have to come out those conversations from a place of love, compassion, understanding, and openness, and not out of resentment, anger, frustration, and fear. Because there's a huge energy shift and no one likes to be yelled at. No communication can happen when you're pissed off and in a heightened state that is useful. And so that's why you always have to start with you, and you have to understand what your own needs are, what your own feelings are, and help understand what's going on inside of you, so that then you can have the leverage over that to then go and talk to the people that you love.
You seem like you have it all together, but I'm sure that you don't, because I am human. I know everyone's human.
We all are. We all are. I have my own coach. Like,
I'm like,
yeah, no,
you have no problems. You are just have it all figured out. But I'm but I know that's not true because I know we're all human. So what do you do for yourself when you are having a bad day? Is there something that you do to refuel, and how do you take care of yourself? Because that's another, you know, victim mentality of women trigger. That, you know, we put other people first, or kids, our spouses, our households above ourselves. So what do you do to take care of yourself?
I really do schedule in every single day time for me. That goes on my calendar before the laundry, before the bathrooms get cleaned, before dinner gets made, before anything else happens. If I am not myself, if I don't have my cup full, I can't give it to anybody else. This mentality of like self-care is selfish needs to be squashed so bad. And I'm doing my best to squash it, but it really is. It's so false. I am not a good mom when I do not feel good, when I feel crappy and I'm not kind to myself. And I'm not in a good mental state if I don't take care of myself. And so, I mean, I have a whole list of things that
I
do.
Because I'm always interested in, people say massages or baths. I'm like, none of that does, that doesn't do it for me. So what is it that like does it for you?
There are lots of, so I have several. So one thing is meditating. I just do a 10-minute meditation. I love doing that. I love just journaling my thoughts, like getting your thoughts out of your head and onto paper allows you to see what's going on in there from a different perspective. And then you get to choose what thoughts you want to go back in.
Yeah.
And so I really love journaling. I love going on walks without any noise in my ears, like just me and the dog. Mm-hmm. So I define here, I'll give you my, what's a little bit of inside news of what's going on in Twin Mom Academy. Okay. Self-care is things that you do to fill yourself up.
Right.
Just for you. And then there's taking care of yourself. So whenever people are like, self-care, I drank water today and I took a bath and I went and exercised, I'm like, no. Those are things that we do to take care of ourselves.
Right.
Right. But doing things like, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do? What did you do before? This is one of the questions that's so fascinating. What did you do before the kids were born that you actually do love to do? One of mine was color. I know that that sounds crazy, but I love coloring. And so I went and got myself an adult coloring book and some really cute colored pencils. And I'll, even if it's just for 5 minutes, I'll just sit and color. And I love it. I really love it. I do like listening to uplifting podcasts. What else do I like to do? I do like to go hiking. I live in Utah, so we have beautiful trails.
Do you schedule all of these things in, or is it like, okay, I'm going to meditate and journal 10 minutes every morning, or do you schedule out coloring?
Not typically coloring, because I'll just do that like on a whim when I'm like, I have 5 minutes, I could do something. My morning routine, I used to let my twins and my kids dictate my morning routine.
Yeah.
And I wish I wouldn't have. There's no reason why they need to. And so my morning routine is amazing. I wake up, I read my scriptures, I do a little journaling, do some meditation on like who I am and what do I want to do this day, like today, things that will help me have the energy to do all of the things that I want to do. And then I go to the gym. I run basically every morning, 20 minutes. And then like 3 or 4 days a week, I lift weights. And then the kids wake up and I help them get ready for school. So my morning routine is, when I sleep in, I know that the sleep never is a better benefit to than my morning routine ever. So I always regret it whenever I sleep in.
I feel like you've given us a lot of information on your program, but go ahead and tell us where we can find you so we can look you up and get more info.
Well, thanks. You can find me at Twin Mom Academy. So .com, or if you're on Instagram, I'm at Twin Mom Academy. So I've been coaching for like 2 years, 2.5 years now. And I am now at the point where I want to be able to bring all of this to a lot of twin moms. So my I used to do one-on-one coaching, but I could only, you know, I only had a certain amount of hours in the day and it was really expensive. And I wanted to be able to reach more twin moms and have it at a price that more twin moms can actually afford. And so that they can have a calm and in control motherhood as well, because when we're calm and in control, we feel good as a mom. Like we know we're doing the best job. And isn't that what we always want? Like that's what every mom wants, is just to know that she's doing a good job and that she's not messing up her kids. And that's when you're calm and in control, when the babies are crying and tantrums are being thrown and there's laundry and dishes everywhere. That's magical. That's pretty fun. And so that's what we do inside of the membership. It's now a membership and it's a monthly program. And I teach a workshop every month. And then we do coaching where people can come on camera with me and I'll guide you through a situation and a scenario that's going on that you're struggling with. Cause sometimes when we're like in it, we can't see through it, you know, we can't see. Yep. And so to have somebody on the outside looking in, they have a different perspective and they can share some helpful guidance. And the core of what we do is we teach moms how to tap into their intuition. They have to know how to do that because you were born to be a twin mom. Like you have everything inside of you, but over the years, we just have blocked that wisdom. We blocked that intuition. And I think through social programming, we think that all of the answers are outside of us. And it's not true. It is not true. I didn't take a sleep training course. I did do like a lactation class, mm-hmm. but even then there was so much of that that was just intuition coming to me when the twins were born, and like no potty training, no tantrum. I didn't take any of that because frankly, 12 years ago, they didn't have any of that available. And I'm actually really grateful for that because that is just a lot of noise. It's a lot of noise that goes on to like, I don't even know what to do in my motherhood. And I just want moms to know that it's all inside of you. Let me help you unlock it. We'll bring it back out.
Well, thank you, Andra. And we will be able to find you on those socials for more of your wisdom. Thank you so much for this interview.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want to hang out some more, you can follow me on Instagram at Neighborhood Twin Mom. If you want more info on what we talked about in this episode or a transcription of the audio, head to neighborhoodtwinmom.com. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star rating and review. This helps other people be able to find the podcast. Music for this episode was composed by Cameron Norby. Find more of his work on YouTube.
Like, oh, okay. What do you say to some? Okay, let me back up. So you